Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday, March 10th. We're having a party. We want you to be one of the revelers. Join us now at cfcc.org for the Political Cesspool virtual fan party and online chat going on again, being hosted again tonight on our behalf by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. As we go out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network this evening, and of course, it's all originating here from our flagship station, AM 1380 WLRM in downtown Memphis. Want to give out a quick announcement or a quick reminder. This will be the last chance I have a chance to remind you of this, because next week, hopefully, we'll all be there together. I will be speaking at the very prestigious gathering in Nashville, Tennessee, next Saturday night, at this time, in fact, perhaps, the American Renaissance Conference, the 2012 American Renaissance Conference. Jared Taylor was on the show, I guess it was last month, to promote it, and we did a bang-up job, if I do say so myself. If you have not yet registered for the American Renaissance Conference, I'll be speaking there. Of course, Jared Taylor, Sam Dixon, Dr. David Yeagley, and many other of our friends and former guests will be there. There's still chance. There's still time for you to do the right thing and meet us all in Nashville. Go to amren.com, A-M-R-E-N, American Renaissance, amren.com, and there you can't miss it. It jumps out at you as soon as you go to the webpage. You'll get all the information and sign up details for the American Renaissance Conference, which will be held next weekend in Nashville. And actually, I won't be speaking during the show. I'll actually be able to do the show, and I will be hosting the show next week, but I will be hosting it from Nashville. And hopefully, I certainly anticipate being able to give you a glowing report and look forward to meeting many of the fans of the show there and sharing with you the warm reception that we all hope to have. So again, folks, amren.com. Now, moving on to the first of two featured interviews this evening, I got to admit, folks, I'm moving into a territory now that I know very little about. Strange but true, it does happen. I'm not an expert on everything, but I know people who are. And joining us tonight for the first time is James Brady. Now, it's not the James Brady, at least I don't think it is. But this James Brady is a big fan of the show. He's an avid listener to the Political Cesspool and a believer, as we are, in paleoconservative views. And he is an energy expert. Again, a very important issue that we don't often tackle on the program. Now, a lot of people out there are labeled energy experts, quote unquote, but they don't know a thing about energy. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And our guest tonight, James Brady, is going to be connecting the so-called energy predicament and giving us some ideas on how perhaps peak oil can be a game changer for ending immigration. How do we go from here to there? Well, let's find out. James, are you with us?
I'm with you, James.
Well, it's great to have you tonight. I know that you have, in fact, also been working on a book on this very subject. So, again, I'm going to be relying heavily on you for the next two segments. Where do we start out? What is some information that you would like people to know about the so-called energy crisis and how we can take steps to rectifying the so-called catastrophe we face?
Well, in 1972, a book was published called The Limits to Growth. And it went on to become the best-selling environmental book of all time. And it predicted that growth in our economies and growth in population will begin to end in about 40 to 80 years, or about 2010 to 2050. And we're already seeing it starting to happen. And I'd just like to ask you, James, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear somebody talk about the word diversity? What do you think of when somebody says we need more diversity?
I think if you're asking me, the first thing that came to my mind is chaos. That's just me.
Well, the only way to really allow that to happen is with growth. Growth in population, immigration in the first world countries. And there's definitely a double standard. You never hear people say, you know, South Africa needs more diversity, or, you know, Israel and Japan should change their immigration policies.
Right.
They're first world countries that third world peoples might want to go to. It's always just majority white populations that need more diversity. It's just like a euphemism for genocide.
Right.
And the only way to allow that to occur is with massive amounts of population growth and economic growth. The economy has to constantly be spitting out more jobs, spitting out more gasoline, more electricity, creating more houses, more food production to allow that to happen. Now, there's predictions that whites will become a minority in the United States by around 2050, approximately. To allow that to happen, the U.S. population would have to grow from 313 million today to almost a half a billion by 2050. And people don't usually ask some questions like, how are we going to produce that much food? How are we going to provide that many people with cars to get to work, houses, electricity? We're not going to just have people living in mud huts. We have to feed them. We have to provide. The economy has to grow and expand enough to allow that to happen. If the economy stops growing, it isn't going to happen. Nobody's even going to want to come here. And, you know, there could be more people leaving the United States than entering if we have a shrinking economy and keep losing jobs.
So this is where the parallel between immigration and energy begins to intersect. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And a lot of people don't realize just how much energy we use in the United States, particularly. Every year, the average American uses 25 barrels of oil, 4 tons of coal, and 73,000 cubic feet of natural gas.
That's the average American per year?
Yeah.
Wow.
And our politicians want economic growth to be about 3% per year. At 3% per year economic growth, and economic growth is tied very closely to energy consumption and carbon emissions. At 3% per year growth, our economy doubles in 23 years. It's 4 times as much in 46 years and 8 times as much in 70 years. So we could be using 8 times the energy in 70 years at 3% per year growth. It's not going to happen. There's just not that much resources in the earth. I mean, those are finite resources. The earth is finite. And we're already starting to reach the maximum extraction rates of fossil fuels. They're not going to run out anytime soon, but there's just limits to how quickly you can mine them.
All right, let's hold up right there, James. Our guest, ladies and gentlemen, James Brady. We're talking about energy tonight, something we don't normally talk about on this program, a foreign subject, perhaps to some of you. It certainly is to me, but I'm willing to learn, and we've got the man on the show tonight that can give us that information. Stay tuned. More with James Brady right after this.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction. What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience, what actually worked, as settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. Truthbasedlogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
We arrived in Vietnam in September, September the 14th.
We were fighting what was called the Viet Cong.
They broke through our lines, and we had to go hand-to-hand with them.
I was actually one of the 9 out of 56 that came back after 1 whole year. And that's hard to forget.
We had 75 killed and 115 wounded.
Vietnam was hell.
We had never been thanked for our service. Never. Congressman Ron Paul got my medals for me and presented them to me. That was an awesome feeling.
People break down and cry because they're getting the medals that they finally deserved.
It takes a veteran to understand a veteran, and he is a veteran himself.
Ron Paul is a veteran's best friend.
He said, thank you for your service, and shook our hand and gave us a hug. That will always be there.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Eddie the Bombardier Miller has just reported into work. I hear him out in the lobby of the radio station tonight. It sounds like a herd of elephants coming down the hall. The reason Eddie's coming in is because he has a guest that he booked coming up a little later this hour. And with that being said, we've got to get back quickly to our first guest tonight, our featured guest, James Brady, who is on to talk about energy. And I have a list of questions here that I desperately want to work into the interview with our featured guest this evening. I don't think we're going to have time to cover it all, and for that I apologize. We're going to have him back to talk more about this because it is an in-depth subject. It's not something that you can just listen to with one ear. You really got to pay attention because this is a lot of stuff, again, as I say, that it's just not our standard fare. But it is important, and I like what you're doing, James, here, and drawing some sort of a connection. Do you think that there could be some enterprising politician that could make a case against illegal immigration based upon the energy consumption that would have to be allocated to sustain it? Is that kind of the gist of your argument there in the first segment?
Absolutely. I mean, I've heard Jared Taylor talk about how a case could be made just based upon the environment, that we're supposed to obtain energy independence, and you know, population growth definitely drives up energy demand, but there's more to it than that because we aren't going to be able to meet growing demand from here on out. I'd just like to talk briefly about M. King Hubbert. He was a petroleum geologist working for Shell in 1956. And on March 8, 1956, he gave a speech before Shell Oil Company where he accurately predicted the peak in U.S. oil production for the year 1970. And he was right, and the United States was producing 10 million barrels a day in 1970. Now we produce about 5.7 million barrels a day.
Wow.
Oil production doesn't run out all at once. It follows a logistic distribution, somewhat of a bell curve, where it's easier to extract on the upslope. You plateau, and then it goes into inexorable decline. And whereas the United States produces about half the oil today that it produced in 1970, the world has now passed the point of global peak oil according to the International Energy Agency, that was in 2006, and oil prices reached $147 a barrel in 2008, and the global economy imploded. It's fashionable to sometimes say that the U.S. subprime mortgage market was responsible for the Great Recession, but every major recession following World War II in the United States has been following an oil shock through the Deep Recession in the late 70s and early 80s after politically induced oil shocks. And the United States went from using about 21 million barrels of oil a day in 2006 to now using only 19 million barrels a day. And by 2020, we'll probably be using less than half the amount of oil we currently use.
I just want to interject here, James. Basically, what we're looking at is our energy production, at least in terms of oil, has dropped by 50% since 1970. And all the while we're producing less energy, we're bringing in more and more people from the third world. Obviously, this is not a sustainable model. So this is a case that could be made, and of course we further restrict ourselves, a case that could be made against increased immigration. Of course, we restrict ourselves. We won't drill here. But let's talk about, I want to skip down to something very quickly, coal and natural gas. This is something that is put forth as alternatives to oil. Obama says we're the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. Is any of that true?
It's not really true. Conventional gas in the United States peaked in 1973. On April 18th, 1977, Jimmy Carter addressed the nation and said that the oil and natural gas we rely on for 75% of our energy are running out in spite of increased effort. And Jimmy Carter said that during the 1950s, U.S. oil consumption doubled. During the 1960s, it doubled again. And in each of those decades, more oil was consumed than in all of our previous history. And in the case of natural gas, it hasn't dropped off as dramatically as oil, but it is declining. And there's been recent developments in hydrofracking shale gas, gas trapped in shale. And the hype is that with shale gas, which is a lower quality resource, we have enough natural gas to last about 100 years at current levels of consumption, which will be like 50 years at twice the consumption. But a lot of new reports are showing that what's technically recoverable is much less than that. The EIA recently downgraded the Marcellus Shale by about two-thirds. I've seen reports that we probably only have enough conventional gas for 20 years and enough shale gas for about 7 years. And shale gas declines by about 63 to 85% in the first year, making high flow rates impossible. And it is an economic at current natural gas prices. And I think that natural gas prices could be as high as 2008 in only a few years. And I think that, you know, a decade from now, our natural gas extraction rate will probably be about the same as it is now, maybe a little bit less, even with a much higher rate of drilling. So what matters is flow rates, how fast you can extract it. And I don't think we can really extract it much faster than we're doing now.
So again, really, the main idea tonight, and I appreciate you for bringing all this in-depth information, I know we're just really scratching the surface here, is that energy experts and so-called environmentalists should really be on our side with regards to the immigration question, if for no reason than this alone. Now, we've all ridden University of Energy at Epcot. They talk about fossil fuels. They talk about the green alternatives, wind, solar power, biofuels, et cetera, et cetera. That's not a long-term answer, though, either, is it? Especially if you continue to multiply the population. Are you still with me, James?
Yeah.
Yes, I was just saying, basically, that's not a long-term option either when you're talking about wind, solar, the green alternatives. That isn't a sustainable renewable model either when you continue to add millions and millions and millions to the population.
No, it can't keep up with that. And when it comes to renewable energy, it's basically too small to matter or it has a fatal flaw. The ones that are too small to matter are hydropower, geothermal, or biomass. And the ones that have a fatal flaw are wind and solar.
Well, that's interesting.
In the case of hydropower, it's pretty much maxed out. It's only about 6% of U.S. electricity. There's a finite number of places to build a big dam.
Right.
And in the case of biomass, it's pretty much tapped out, too. Biomass and hydro provide 90% of our renewable energy because those are forms of stored energy. Biomass is a hydrocarbon, and water behind a dam is stored energy, so it's quality energy that you can use when you want to. Big hydro dams can provide a base load of reliable power, but those are pretty much maxed out. In the case of the corn ethanol we're producing, it actually takes more energy to produce the ethanol than we get from burning it, just because of the tractors, the amount of natural gas needed to make fertilizer. Corn ethanol is a joke. It takes about two units of fossil fuel energy to produce one unit of ethanol energy.
James, hold that. I want to bring you back after the break and wrap this up before we get to our next guest. Stay tuned, everybody.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number 3, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com, your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. About to get to our second and final guest of the evening, but first I want to thank again James Brady for coming on the show tonight. Eddie's looking at me with crossed eyes. It's not the James Brady, Ed. It's a better one than that. But we're talking about energy tonight, and I fully intended to have him on for an hour, and we're going to have him back on because this is such a deep and in-depth subject, and he's bringing forth to the program a lot of information, the likes of which probably a lot of people haven't considered before, because certainly I don't think I've at least thought about it more than just a passing fancy of opposing illegal immigration, opposing immigration entirely from an energy and environmentalist point of view. But certainly I think we can do that and still not compromise our own core principles. But James, again, thanks for being with us tonight. We will have you back. Anything you'd like to say in closing, a couple of parting words you'd like to leave the audience with?
Well, I'd just like to say that, you know, I think this is really sort of the zero-sum game of what ushered in the modern world and modern viewpoints and why first world countries keep drifting more to the left. You know, during the 50s and 60s, our oil consumption quadrupled, and that caused a massive expansion of the economy. And the civil rights movement was just about sort of when that pie keeps getting bigger and bigger, making sure that everybody is the place at the table. I mean, if the world peaked in oil production in 1950, I don't think it ever would have happened. In North Dakota, there's a mini oil boom right now, and they have 3% unemployment, and they're having people have to come in from other countries just because they can't fill enough jobs.
Right.
So I think that what's really created this situation is just this massive amount of abundance and growth. But now that's coming to an end, it's going to be a game-changing situation.
Well, again, my friend, you brought forth to the table some very interesting information tonight, something for a lot of people to think on, and we look forward to exploring these ideas in greater detail when you make an encore appearance with us at a date that I hope will be very, very soon. Thanks again for coming on tonight and shedding some light on this subject, James.
Thanks, James.
My pleasure, buddy. All right, now joining us in the studio, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and is Eddie's guest on the line?
Yes.
All right, Eddie, you have your guest. Why don't you take the opportunity to introduce her and her good work, and we'll go from there, Eddie.
Sure. Well, hello there, Kate. How are you doing?
Hey, Eddie, I'm doing great.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting you on the show tonight. I'll just give a brief introduction. This is Kate, who's formed an organization called FlowersRights.org. And she's been instrumental, probably the only organization that I'm aware of that has been dealing with civilians, helping, you know, civilians, citizens get their way through this, you know, through the maze in the airport, that, dealing with the TSA officials and, the airport, the X-ray screeners and the pat-downs and the other rules of the government. And with that, just a brief introduction. And if we have time, Kate, if we have time, at the end, I would like to get into the TSA and the Viper teams. We may have mentioned this last week, and have they been how they're coming out on the street. The TSA is coming out on the street in cities and states. As a matter of fact, Tennessee was a pilot state where they ran a program here. But folks, with that, just to that brief spiel from me, I'm turning you over to Kate. Kate, tell us your name and about something about your organization, and make sure you put your website in there, and just tell us. Go ahead and tell us what you've been doing and how you got started. And so I'm turning over to Kate right now.
Well, you got it, Eddie. So yes, I'm Kate Hannay, and my organization is FlyersRights.org. And we are a 50,000-member consumer organization for airline passengers. And why we exist is that the airlines started a practice of putting people inside sealed jets and holding them hostage, and I'm not exaggerating, for, in many cases, up to 12 hours on the ground without giving them access to food or water with overflowing toilets. And that's what happened to my family December 29th of 2006. On American Airlines, we were headed from San Francisco to Mobile, Alabama, and we were diverted to Austin, and we sat for 9 hours and 17 minutes on the tarmac with overflowing toilets, no food or water, continually being told that we would be allowed to go to a gate eventually, or that we would take off. And the conditions, diabetics were going into shock, and people were making diapers out of T-shirts for their babies, and there were 138 planes that night involved in our event, all one airline, and so we decided to start an organization to bring better health, safety, well-being, and dignity to airline passengers.
Wow. You know, you say you had some people in there that were diabetics and couldn't. I'm not getting a real good connection. Kate, if I can't get a better connection, I might have to turn you over to James in just a second. But now tell us some of the progress, some of the things that you've been able to do. To alleviate some of the problems that you've been running into and that people have been running into in the airports.
Sure. Well, we started just with the tarmac delay law that we wanted to get passed. We wanted to make sure that people were able to get off a plane after 3 hours on the tarmac, and arguably 3 hours is a long time to sit on the tarmac on a domestic flight, but we could not get the government in any way, shape, or form to consider a shorter amount of time. The airlines continued to say that they just couldn't possibly do it. So we've had 7 laws passed for airline passengers, and we've got one law that says that if you're on a domestic flight, they have to give you food, water, access to clean toilets, and temperature control at any time on the tarmac. And at 3 hours on the tarmac, they need to give you the opportunity to get off the plane. If you're on an international flight, it's the same thing, but it's a 4-hour rule. So they have to give you an opportunity to get off after 4 hours, but at any time on the tarmac, they have to make sure that you have access to your medications, to food, to water, to clean toilets, and have temperature control.
You mean
we
they
got
can keep...
the bumping compensation increased twice. We got it doubled in 2008 and then raised again. And more airlines are bumping people, meaning that they're overselling seats, and they don't tell you that they've oversold the seats, so you show up at the airport and find out that, you know, 2 people bought your seat. And so when they bump you, they now have to compensate you either $650 or $1,300 for the length of delay that you have. We've gotten better transparency in terms of all of those fees and taxes that you can't find. We now have full fare advertising, so they have to show you all the taxes and the booking fees at a minimum in their advertising or online. Refunds of baggage fees if they lose your bags. Just a whole host of new laws and regulations to protect airline passengers. And primarily it's because the airlines are just hurting people right and left, and they weren't changing their behavior.
Now, Kate, how much of this bad behavior could be blamed totally on the airlines, and how much could be blamed on like the governmental rules? You know, with the TSA coming into the airports. So do you know how much of that? You know, for instance, keeping people on the tarmac for hours on end, overflowing toilets. Was that with a federal law, or was that just what the airlines were doing?
That's just what the airlines were doing, because actually there was no law in place that said they ever had to let you off a plane. So that was kind of shocking to figure that out. And here's one of the reasons that the airlines were doing it, is that after 9/11, they were losing money. And so they began overscheduling. And when they overschedule, you can only get so many planes off the ground at once. So, you know, they were overscheduling. If 80 flights were possible in an hour, they were going up to 120. Well, the remaining 40 were going to sit for several hours on the tarmac before takeoff every single day in New York.
Wow.
So this was a strategy on the part of the airlines to pick up revenues. And probably the last 7 to 8 years is when it became that strategy after 9/11, as they've been scrambling to try to figure out how to stay profitable. The problem is that a lot of people have gotten ill, and there have even been some deaths in these situations. So we need to make sure that these practices are roped in a little bit. You know, we never asked for fines. We never asked for any money from the airlines. We just said, don't hold us hostage. Give us a chance to get off a plane. Give us a chance to have access to our medications and food and water if we need it.
You know, that's shocking. That's insane. You know, I knew there'd be some problems, but I didn't know they could just keep you on there for hours on end.
Indefinitely.
You know, it looks to me like that the airlines committed suicide because, you know, they may have been making money with these insane policies on the short term. But I know for one, if I was ever locked up on an airplane like that for any amount of time, you know, for if it's that sucker sat out there for an hour, hour and a half, and I couldn't get off, hey, I'm Eddie Miller's not going to fly anymore. And, you know, that's it. 3 hours, 4 hours, I'd be busting out a window. Well, we're coming up. Yeah. We're going to catch you back when we're going to a break right now, Kate, and we're going to pick up pretty much where we left off.
Okay, great.
Okie doke.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
I smoke because it's a habit. It's very hard to quit. I've tried.
My wife smokes. It's not allowed in the home. It's not allowed around my children. I just know it isn't good.
My husband hates that I smoke, and I smoke outside.
It irritates her a little bit, but I think she sees and understands what I'm trying to get across to her, that it's not only bad to her, but it's bad to my 3 beautiful daughters and my 2 sons.
My dad gets upset with my mom because she smokes and he doesn't, and whenever my mom goes and smokes, she has to go smoke outside.
I don't think my mom should smoke because it's really bad for you and it could hurt you really bad.
I do think there is a correlation between parents and kids. The parent smokes, the kids think it's okay for them to smoke.
Sometimes all you need is a small reason to quit.
Yeah, I love my mom very much, but I still wish she'd stop smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, it's been another program, ladies and gentlemen, that's gone by far too quickly, and it always goes by a little more quickly when you have great guests on, and certainly we've had those tonight, and that, of course,
culminates with our second guest of the evening, Kate from FlyersRights.org. I'm actually there at the website right now, folks. It's a treasure chest of useful information, need-to-know stuff. Check it out for yourself at FlyersRights.org. I want to thank my co-host, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, for not only locating this fine guest, but bringing her on to the show tonight. And I know Eddie is the... He's the main guy as far as this interview goes, so I'm just going to stay out of his way and let him and the guests do great work. Eddie, back over to you, my friend.
Thank you, James. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. James is like my spirit son. You know, I'm old enough to be his pappy and then some. Well, Kate, I guess we'll start back where we left off a little bit. Now, overall, do you, I'd like to ask you right now on the federal side. Now, how much do you fly? Evidently, you fly quite a bit, don't you, Kate?
Well, I fly a lot more since I took on this cause, because when you advocate, you have to show up in Washington, D.C. if you want something done, unfortunately. Okay. And so I've made 98 trips to Washington, D.C. in the last 5 years.
98 trips to D.C.
98 there, and then 7 to New York, and then 6 or 7 states that introduced possible laws in those states before the the Department of Transportation, the Congress finally got something done. Thing is, with this issue, it's pretty weird, but we have support from everyone. You know, libertarians, Tea Partiers, Republicans, Democrats, nobody wanted to be stuck on a plane and not have the right to get off.
Well, sure.
You know, and be breathing in, you know, waste from the toilets and not have access to food or water. So the birth of our organization really had broad public support. And the airlines have just gone downhill since our organization started. In just about every way, people feel that they're being deceived. And so what we did is we started a hotline, a toll-free hotline, and it's manned by volunteers, and you can call it 24/7, and we will help you with any airline problem.
Wow,
that number is 1-877-359-3776.
Hey,
and it could be a past problem
again,
or a future problem or a problem you're having right now. Maybe you lost your bag. Maybe your kids are lost at an airport. We have contacts at the airlines. We have contacts at many of the major airports and a lot of airports. We have ways of getting things done for people when they're traveling and they're not able to get help from the airlines.
Okay, if you will, get that number and give it a little bit slower. Some people like me, my ears are shot. A lot of gunfire. You know, I was drafted in 1969 to fight for the international bankers.
Wow.
If you will, over the nom-nom, if you will, give that number out again to make sure all of our guests get it, you know, that way to give them time, get a pencil, et cetera. But get that number out one more time, Kate.
Yeah,
please.
Our website is FlyersRights.org, and our hotline, our toll-free hotline, is 1-877-359-3776.
Thank you very much.
And when you call it, you'll leave a message, and then within a minute or two, you're going to hear back from one of us that manned the hotline, and we're able to take care of almost any airline-related issue, future, past, present, whatever it is, we in general have ways of helping.
Now, do you have any special way that you like, you know, if people want to contribute money to the organization, is there any special, like post office box, et cetera? I mean, how do you get monetary contributions? In other words, how can people contribute to help you out there?
Absolutely. You know, there's several ways of doing it. The easiest one, if people are using the internet, is to go to our website and click on our donate link, and they can donate there, and they'll get a tax write-off for their donation, and that's very helpful to us. If they go to our website also, they'll see my address where they can mail a check. And again, we are a C3 nonprofit offering a tax write-off for any donations. And the other thing people can do, we have 22 full-time volunteers at Flyers Rights, and we constantly need people to help with all different kinds of things, whether it's manning the hotline or reaching out to people in their area to let them know about us. There's a lot of different projects that we have going on, and sometimes people just want to volunteer their time. Maybe they don't have money, but they like volunteering their time, so we love that as well. And if folks call our hotline and let us know, you know, that they'd like to volunteer. We can give them, you know, a dozen or so different things that they might be able to help us do, because we're all volunteers, including me.
Well, we're volunteers here pretty much, too. I guess James is probably the closest to a professional that you can be and be a volunteer. Well, we're kind of running on the shoestring here.
We use the word professional very loosely around here, Kate.
Yes, and we're talking major loose. But, well, Kate, I'd like to also ask you, I don't know how much time we got before the break, but listen, how much trouble have you had getting with TSA screeners? Because, listen, I've heard some horror stories. And for instance, I know a former Miss America was I'll just say, to be as nice as I can, she was sexually assaulted, you know, by these TSA goons. And it's not really, you know, it's not uncommon to hear stories like this. These 80, 90-year-old ladies having to take their diapers off. I've heard of ladies who've, you know, had mastectomies, some cancer, having to take prostheses off. Just horror stories and having to go through these X-ray machines that are putting out just, you know, a tremendous amount of X-ray. How much trouble have you had with that?
Terrible. Our organization has grown exponentially with all of these failed TSA programs, and every time they introduce something that's more intrusive, we get thousands of phone calls and a lot of new members, and people are not traveling now a lot because of TSA. About 15% of all air travelers have decided they won't fly because of these new TSA restrictions, so it's hurt the travel industry. And it has people not wanting to fly. It's completely a violation of their rights. But the worst part of it is that the body scanners and the pat-downs don't work.
That's right.
There's never once been a terrorist caught at a TSA checkpoint. And you're talking about the TSA Viper program. I think I know what you're talking about, where they're going to expand into the train stations. They're going to start X-raying you as you drive by or walk by down the street. Well, why not take a failed program and expand on it?
Sure. Why don't we put some of these screeners, these airport screeners down here at the Mexican border, where we have millions of illegals coming across the Mexican border every year. But, you know, it's awfully strange that to me, they take little children. Matter of fact, I have my co-host or my host here, James Edwards' wife, just got back from Texas, and she has a small child about a little over 2 years old. And, you know, she's such a threat. And they take her little sipper bottle and go over it with a fine tooth comb. And they used to stuck some kind of a little strip in it. I guess to make sure it wasn't sodium cyanide or nitroglycerin or something. You know, this is a 2 year old, just most precious little 2 year old you've ever seen. You know, and meanwhile, we got the millions of people coming across there in the Mexican border. And you mentioned, in Tennessee was a pilot state where we had these Viper teams coming out. We got a. They're coming out and stopping people randomly on the highways and just pulling them over.
It's like martial law. It's
exactly. It's martial law.
It certainly is. And I grew up in California where I never would even have wondered about this kind of thing, but I can't stand it.
In Tennessee, of all the places. Well, you know, Kate, we're just about to run out of time here. I'd like to certainly like to follow you. I think you still have my home phone number, my email address. If anything comes up that's noteworthy, we need to know of, just please send me an email and get in touch with me. It's a delight. Listen, I can't tell you how much I admire you for what you've done. You know, a lot of times I try to think about doing stuff, but I mainly talk the talk. I don't walk the walk as well as you do. I have done some things, you know, but not anything like you've done. Well, Kate, it's been a delight having you on tonight, and I salute you for what you've done, and I hope our program, it would really be a delight to me if some people called in from our program. Well, that's about it for the night, Kate, and I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I know you're very, very busy, so that's about winds up. We're just about out of time, folks. I'm going to turn you over to James Edwards right now. Thank you again, Kate.
Thank you so much.
Okay. And folks, be sure to check out Kate's website, flyersrights.org. Eddie, another great guest, another great interview, and good information. I tell you, we covered a lot of ground here in this third and final hour tonight, plowed some new ground, I should say, talking about energy and the relation between the energy crisis America is supposedly facing with the illegal alien invasion. And then, of course, this with the TSA and Kate and her work at flyersrights.org. It's been a different third hour than what we're accustomed to, and we like to work in some some new flavor into the show from time to time, and I hope the audience enjoyed it as well. Of course, Keith Alexander's commentary in the first hour is spot on, as it always is, and then we covered a lot of stories that we featured at the website during the second. But Eddie, again, another slam dunk home run, my friend. I want to thank you for your contributions to the show tonight. On behalf of Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, our star staff and crew here in Memphis at the local station, the flagship, and of course all the great men and women at the network in Utah, I am James Edwards. God bless you and keep you. We'll see you next week. Rest in peace, Davy Jones. Good night, everybody.
Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.